Welcome to 3GT, the podcast for three guys, a pastor, a professor, and a parishioner discuss theology from a practical standpoint, all from a Reformed perspective. Find out more at 3GT.xyz.
Welcome to yet another episode of Three Guys Theologizing. Yes, it's 3GT time, and we're glad that you have joined us. This is Barry York, president of Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary out in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I'm joined today with my friend and co-host, Scott Hunt, our parishioner and an elder in the Reformed Presbyterian Church out in Marion, Indiana. Scott, it's good to see you once again.
It's good to be seen once again. Good to see you too.
Yes, you're looking quite dapper. You're just off a day of work. I'm just sitting here in my flannel shirt at the end of a
day. I still have my suit and tie on.
Yes, there you go. Yes, zip up that tie and get ready for this particular conversation today, because I want to ask you some questions from a different angle.
Sure.
You know, as a preacher, and I pray that the Lord gives me opportunities to preach, and I've been preaching quite a bit lately, almost weekly here for the last couple of months, and so I enjoy that. I'm thankful for those opportunities to open God's Word, but I know that it's very important for the people on the other side of the pulpit to be listening to what's being preached. I think a lot of times it's easy to think that the responsibility for listening falls solely on the pastor, that it's the pastor's job to keep the congregation awake and lively and attentive to God's word. And certainly the pastor, the preacher, has that responsibility. But it's pretty clear in the scriptures that God puts a lot of responsibility on those people who are also listening to his word. And so I wanted to talk with you, Scott, today about how to listen to a sermon. Just what should we be doing as we listen to sermons? Go ahead.
I think that's great. Before we begin, though, you mentioned it's not your responsibility to keep people awake. But I remember very vividly in one of your sermons that you didn't yell. But you said pretty loudly and banged your hand on the pulpit, "Wake up!" Now, I don't know if anybody was asleep, but after that, nobody could have been asleep. I appreciated that. I don't know if you were taking your, I remember that very vividly. So even though that's not your main job, Barry, you did that well. You kept us awake.
Well, I was probably just quoting Jesus when he was speaking to the one of the churches of Asia, or maybe it was in the prophet Isaiah or something. I was just quoting scripture.
I just thought it was funny. Wake up!
Well, you're reminding me back in the early days when we were meeting at the YWCA, there's just like 30, 35 people in the room, that we had this particular one lady who we had met going door to door. They'd come to church. They didn't last forever. But anyway, she started developing a habit of falling asleep during the message. And that would have been okay, except she snored extremely loudly. And so I did get out from behind my pulpit and just walk down the aisle and start preaching louder until I woke her up, and then I go back. So I guess I do have a bit of responsibility to keep people awake.
Well, it's not so much to keep them awake. It's just to keep them from distracting other people.
Yes,
with their
that's
snoring.
Right. That's right. Well, we do want to think through together how you go about listening to a sermon. Of course, the Bible does put a high priority on listening. They have those familiar words in the book of James in the first chapter, that we're to be doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. So we've got to make sure that we're hearing and hearing in an appropriate way that leads to a faithful response. Or we could think about how the Sermon on the Mount ends, where Jesus tells that little parable about the wise man building his house on the rock that withstands the storm and the rain, but the foolish man builds on sand and it does not. And he says that foolish man is the one who hears those words of his, but does not act on them. So very clearly in the Bible, these two references, and I could list a whole host of other ones, there is a duty to have an active listening to a sermon, that we don't have, as God's people, really the right to come into the sanctuary and listen to a sermon and then not leave and exercise a faithful response to that sermon. And so I think it's really important for us to think about how to listen to it. And one of the questions actually in the larger catechism, Scott, question 160, raises this question. It says, what is required of those that hear the word preach? And the answer is quite extensive. It says it's required of those that hear the word preach that they attend upon it with diligence, preparation, and prayer, examine what they hear by the scriptures, receive the truth with faith, love, meekness, and readiness of mind as the word of God, and meditate and confer of it, hide it in their hearts, and bring forth the fruit of it in their lives. And so I want us to just think in those categories, those general categories that are mentioned here, about how to listen to a sermon. And I guess the first area, Scott, I would raise is it says that they need to attend upon it with diligence, preparation, and prayer. And so let's think a little bit about how to prepare to listen to the sermon. I think we all have had that experience, and hopefully it's not a habitual one, but we're trying to get ready on Sunday mornings, or running off to church, or running in. We sit down, and maybe we're not just really as prepared for the worship experience, and particularly listening to God's word as we should be. And Scott, what would be some ways that you would encourage people to really think about how to listen to a sermon with respect to preparation?
Well, I think one of the things that we have tried to do in our household, and which I find very helpful, is to prepare for Sunday morning, you have to start preparing Saturday night. Just not packing the night so full, or making sure you have provisions ready for Sunday morning so that you're not concerned about lunch. You know, if you're having people over after worship to fellowship, making sure you have the food preparations done Sunday night, so that kind of thing isn't clouding up your mind. So part of preparation, I think, is just attending to the worldly affairs that you have to attend to on Saturday so that you are free from the worry and concern of those things on Sunday morning when you go to church and you sit in the pew. It's not, you're never going to do it perfectly. Your wife is always going to be concerned that the roast is going to burn in the oven, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But you can do everything you can, which includes prayer and worship time Saturday night, to prepare yourself and to settle yourself. I have found that that's one of the best ways to physically be prepared to listen to a sermon, is to prepare the day before. And then that Sunday morning, get up on time. Church services don't start usually too early. I mean, most people are at work before they have to, the same hour that they go to a worship service. So, be diligent in preparation by getting up, reading, having private time, prayer. Those are some of the things I think that help you to prepare for listening. You're settled. But the other thing, and I'm sure we'll get to this, is to pray, to be in prayer for the worship service, and not only pray for you that you will be ready to hear, but pray for the preacher. It is no small task to stand before God's people with God's authority, speaking God's word. I mean, that is a large task. So pray for your preacher as well, that the Lord would give them strength and give them the words to speak. One final thing that I have found very helpful is, if at all possible, find out what is going to be preached on Sunday morning. If you know the passage it's going to be preached on, read it. Read it several times. Think about it. Dwell upon it. I think that will help you be prepared as you hear the word read and then spoke. You'll have a familiarity with that that makes it easier to get to the application and the exercise of your faith in that passage. So those are several of the things that I have found helpful in preparing to listen to a sermon.
I think that's excellent helps for our listeners, and just good for me to even think through again, as I don't always preach, but also sit on the other side of the pulpit at times, listening to God's word being preached. And going back a little bit to the idea of preparing beforehand, even on the night before, it is interesting, the Jewish Sabbath day, their end of the day ended with the sun setting. And so they really saw the Sabbath beginning the night before. And I think in our modern minds, with the advent of the clock and just thinking of things going from midnight to midnight to define a day, that we might do a little better thinking about the Sabbath, being prepared for it on Saturday night. And I know Saturday night can be a night where there's a lot going on. People want to go out to movies, entertainment, sports activities. There's so much going on. And what I think a lot of people don't understand is it's just crowding out. And even if they keep a Lord's Day, they don't realize that sometimes they're just getting so crowded. And to create some more space to do some of the things that you're saying, to spend some time the night before getting ready for the Lord's Day, praying for the Lord's Day, reading the scriptures that'll be preached on the Lord's Day. You just get so much more out of your experience. One of the things the Puritans called the Lord's Day was the marketplace for the soul. And their idea was just like you go to a store and purchase the items that you need, and before you go purchase them, you make a list and think through what do you really need for your home. In the same way, we need a spiritual marketplace. Our souls need things, and if we're thinking through the needs of our own lives, our families, the families of the church, and what they need, we could be praying for that and asking God, you know, when we go to your house today, we're discouraged because of these things that have happened in the church, or we lack unity, or any number of things that we could be asking the Lord to do, and to be in prayer and anticipation that the Lord will respond to that, I think is a great thing. So those are really, really good help, Scott. Anything else to add?
No, I don't think so. I think the one thing about preparing is you have to prepare. You have to plan on it, right? You can't just stumble into preparing for something. So it takes discipline, and it takes practice, and you're not going to be perfect, but I do think that it's something that you have to commit yourself to even before, even beforehand.
Yes. I'm just going to make a confession here. I'm a better, and I hope this comes across the right way. You'll understand what I mean after I explain myself. But in some ways, I'm a better pastor than I am a parishioner. Because when I'm a pastor and I have responsibilities on the Lord's Day, then I'm really thinking through all those things the night before, the morning of, and I'm more set and ready to go to worship. But when I don't have those responsibilities, I find that I can grow lax in doing some of the things that you're saying. So I'm confessing it's not easy. Necessarily no. To go in a diligent manner to the house of the Lord, but I think it's so important. And just talking about this makes me want to be better in my own practice. Well, let's go on.
In all fairness, though, what I'm saying is aspirational. I'm not telling you I do it perfectly every time, you know, it is something that we need, that we all need to strive to do.
Yes. And it's like keeping in shape, right? Like if you just let down one or two times, all of a sudden you're not lifting the weights or running the miles or whatever anymore. And it can be very much the same way spiritually speaking. So we have to keep diligent at it. And this is a good reminder to that end. Yeah. Well, let's talk now about the act of actually listening to the sermon. You're sitting in the pew or your soft chair, whatever it is that you sit on in your sanctuary, and you are hearing the message. What responsibilities do you have at that point, Scott, as you listen to the sermon? It talks in the catechism about examining the sermon. So how do you examine a sermon?
Well, I suppose it's different. You know, Barry, you in your teaching, you listen to probably quite a few sermons or parts of sermons. I think that is a different kind of examining than one would do in a worship service. The one thing that is probably easy for people to do that we should not do is be critical of a sermon. Now, that doesn't mean don't be critical about the sermon and what's being said, but you know, don't come to a sermon with a checklist of there needs to be a good illustration, 3 points, preferably alliterated, a great conclusion, and all in 30 minutes. You know, that's not an examination of a sermon. Well, what we need to do is, you know, you read the word and you listen. And when you listen, it's what is God saying here? It's also easy for us to think, well, how does this apply to my neighbor who I think is struggling with this issue? That's an easy trap to fall in. You know, what's being said is great, but it's not for me. I think it's important for us to as we listen and examine yourself. Is what is being preached, what is that speaking to my life about and the life of my church about? And how do I need to change my behavior and change my attitudes and my outlook based upon the word of God as it's being proclaimed now? So it's an active listening. It's not one of the problems with modern culture, and I'm sure everybody would say this, but we're such a consumer culture that we watch, we're entertained. We watch sports, we watch television shows, we watch movies, we read news, and all of that is for our benefit and to please ourselves and to satisfy ourselves. And that's not the purpose of a sermon. The purpose of a sermon is to listen to what God is saying. So it's not a passive listening. It's an active listening. And we have to be engaged. And, you know, it goes back to the first point. If you're tired because you stayed up too late the night before, it's going to be hard to be engaged in your listening. If you're worried about your pot roast burning, it's going to be hard to be engaged with what's being said. And be honest about yourself and your state. I think as you're listening and you get convicted by something that's said, you need to maybe take a moment and reflect on that. Don't be defensive. Well, why is the pastor preaching this about me? Why, you know, no, stop. It's the Lord that's doing this. So be reflective on that. So those things, I think, are ways that we can be active in our listening.
Mm-hmm. And I appreciate what you're saying here and certainly understand that we shouldn't come in with a critical, hard-hearted spirit against the preacher where we're just trying to find flaws and what they're saying or how they're saying it. But there's also the duty that we have to examine the teachings that we're under, right? And my mind gets drawn to the Bereans when they listen to the Apostle Paul. It describes them as they examined the scriptures daily to see whether the things that he was saying were accurate and true to the scriptures. So speak to that component as well, Scott, and maybe even anecdotally, not under my preaching, but like under someone else. So anytime you corrected me, you could use that as an example. I don't mind, but
I don't know that I ever corrected you, Barry. never had a need to. No, you're right. We do need to examine. And so that's part of the active listening. Is what the pastor saying line up with the rest of Scripture? Now, I was assuming for the sake of your last question that I was taking that for granted.
Yes.
But we do need to be active listeners. And I think that's part of the final part. When you put into practice what you've heard, when you go home after a sermon, you go and you check those things out. And if there is something that seems to be out of line, I think it's a good idea to humbly, and that's the important part, humbly go to your pastor and ask them, can you explain this? I kind of understand it differently. And I say humbly because, you know, there are times when people approach a pastor and say, no, you got this wrong. And that can just set it off on the wrong tone, right? You don't,
yes.
A lot of, it's not just what you say, but it's how you say it that I think can cause problems in these kind of situations. But clearly we have to have a knowledge of the Bible to be able to do this effectively, to be a good Berean, which goes into the preparation. I mean, your daily worship will help you in this aspect of listening to a sermon. But you do have to rely on your knowledge of Scripture and test it with other Scriptures. The other thing is, ruling elders are a benefit in this respect. So if you think there's a question, you know, ask your ruling elders. They're part of our job is to make sure, as shepherds of the church, is to make sure that there's theological accuracy, that the pastor's preaching the gospel in a clear way. So you can, you know, talk to your ruling elders. Those are some of the ways that you can, that you need to listen as well. I hope that's.
Yeah. Yeah, that helps. That's very helpful. And I think to just reiterate a bit, because I think this is so important, that you have a responsibility as a hearer to receive truth. You do not have the responsibility to receive error. Like you don't, you're not supposed to just sit there and accept error. If you hear something that's wrong, you need to be able to differentiate truth from falsehood. That's part of your responsibility as a listener to the Word of God. And often I said when I preach, don't believe this just because I'm telling you. Believe this because you're convinced in your mind that this is what the very Word of God is teaching. And if you're not convinced of that and you have a question, then you should talk to me. You should interact with me. And I always appreciate it when people come up with questions. And, you know, yes, it's nice when they do it in a humble way. but it is our responsibility. My daughter was at one point, I won't say which daughter, but if anybody knows my daughters, I probably know which one it is. She was visiting a church and out of state. And my wife was also there and said the preacher was not just slightly off base. He was preaching falsehood. And my daughter went up to him and started asking questions. And when he wouldn't admit what he was doing, she became so impassioned, she started weeping in front of him over the errors that he was teaching the people of the Lord. And so I do think there's times for that. Like there are false teachers and they have to be confronted. People have to be warned of them. But again, and for most of our listeners and most of our settings, where we're in a faithful church, if there is something that's not sitting right with you, the best method is to go and speak to the pastor and have a conversation about it, because it may be just that you misheard him or you just need to be taught further so that you can grow in your own edification. The other thing you mentioned about the ruling elders is just so vital too, that they have that responsibility to oversee the word, the ministry of the word. And I think the old practice in the Reformed churches, a lot of our churches have big chairs up in front, and it used to be ruling elders would actually sit up front. And if you think about the day of Pentecost, when Peter was up preaching in Pentecost, he wasn't there by himself. The other apostles were standing all around him. And it was like, yes, what he's saying is true. And we're all here as witnesses testifying to this. And I guess the practice was is that the ruling elders would sit there. And sometimes you could tell whether they agreed with the pastor or not, just by the way they were responding. And after the service, they would shake his hand if he was doing a good job, and maybe not do that if he had failed. That would be a little intimidating. But I do think it's important for the ruling elders to be interacting with their pastors. I think regularly giving him some feedback is important. They should be encouraging mostly in his ministry of the word. But if he's struggling, or you know, sometimes ministers get tired and you can tell they just haven't put the effort forth in their sermon preparation. And they need to keep on top of that. Maybe there's some things they could do to encourage their pastor, send them to a seminar, a workshop, a renewal class at RPTS, you know, something like that. Had to get that. So, well, thank you, Scott, for that. Let's go on to the response to the sermon. What is God expecting from us after we've prepared to hear and examine the sermon, listen to it? How do we respond? And why is it hard to respond?
Well, it's that's an interesting question, because it could be taken a couple of different ways. I mean, I think the response that you have to a sermon is directly related to the topic and the message of the sermon. I mean, some sermons, you know, will, I guess, as a necessity, a proper response is to, you know, weep on your knees and thanksgiving for your salvation, and just magnify the Lord for his graciousness. I mean, and every sermon should have some aspect of all of these. Sometimes it's to make drastic changes in your life. You know, you're confronted with particular sin, or you're confronted with a sin of complacency. I mean, some sermons require drastic change in your behavior. So I think the issue that's dealt with in the sermon will affect the specific application of how you respond. But a response is always necessary. In a response, there's always a response. Either you respond by doing nothing, or you respond by doing something, but there's always a response. So I think as you leave a sermon, it's good to consider what it is that you've heard, reread the passage. If you take notes, review your notes. You're not in a typical 35, 40 minute sermon. You're not going to remember everything that's said, but you will remember important things that come up. So take those notes. If you have a journal that you take notes in, go back over the past couple of weeks, couple of months, read your notes and see if you're following through. You know, if one of the sermons was you need to be diligent in your preparation for the Sabbath, you know, go back and read the notes and, hey, am I being diligent in my preparation for the Sabbath? And, you know, apply that to your life. Maybe the next Saturday you do things differently. The next Sunday morning you do things differently. The issue is not whether you respond. I said that, but we need to be prayerfully in response to pray, after the sermon that the Lord would, use it in your life. As James said, don't be merely hearers of the word, but doers. You know, that's not always easy. But we need to perhaps take a moment and two or three action steps that we can take after every sermon. I've I've not done that. As I'm talking to you, I'm realizing maybe I should be doing that. You know, what is God calling me to do and how can I do it? And just jot down two or three action steps that you can take to implement God's word for you, and then pray and do it. Those are some ways. And again, I confess, I've never done that, taking notes and, hey, here's what I can do. But, you know, saying it out loud is probably not a bad idea.
Yeah, writing down and working through things I think are important. One of the things that James says is don't be hearers who delude themselves. So I think that self-deception is one of the things that the scriptures really warn us against, that we can be thinking that we're being faithful when, in effect, if we're taking what we're listening and then putting up against the ledger of what we're actually doing, if there's a great difference between the two, then we're deluding ourselves. If we're just sitting there listening to the word, but we're not actually following through with the right behaviors. Mm-hmm. And when we think about all the time that we're devoting to God's word by going to church, all the time the minister has prepared to bring that word to us, to think about how the Lord himself is orchestrating all that and his desire for us to listen, then we should really be taking that to heart, to really want to follow through. And the scriptures, to hear something isn't just to have it go through our ear canal. To really hear something means that we're going to respond to it in faithfulness. And as you're saying, Scott, I think prayer, with the sense that I really need the Holy Spirit to help me fulfill this, is what's so important, because we realize that ultimately he's the one speaking. It's not the pastor himself so much. This is God's word, God's servant, and his Spirit is using that to speak to the people. And just as Jesus said to those seven churches at Asia, the end of every one of his sermons to each of those seven congregations was, let him who hears hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And that's the attitude that we really need to come to God's house with as we listen to a sermon. Well, anything else, my friend?
You know, I've been blessed by good pastors. I will say that. But, you know, I appreciate talking about this and what it means to listen. It helps remind me what I need to do every Lord's Day. Worship and listening to a sermon is not a spectator sport.
That's right. That's a great way to say it.
And worship is an activity. You know, it's an act of worship, not a passive, you know, I'm going to sit here and watch worship. And so, in all of these things, we need to be active participants. And just as in any conversation, listening is just as important as speaking. In a sermon, listening is just as, you know, it's important that we be there to give feedback to the pastor, to give encouragement to the pastor, and encouragement for our souls. So, I think it's important for us to consider each Lord's Day, as we go sit in our pew or our soft seat, as you have described before worship, to really consider what it is we're doing. We are hearing the very words of God spoken. If that's not awe-inspiring, and if we're not willing to participate and prepare for that, then shame on us, because we have a glorious right and such a precious opportunity to sit in the throne room of God, that we should really take the time to prepare ourselves to hear what he has to say.
Wow. Well, that'll preach. Thanks, Scott. Well, speaking of listening, we're always thankful that you take the time to listen to this podcast. And we do trust that this particular episode will be of help to you and encouragement to you the next time you enter the sanctuary of the Lord. Thank you for listening to Three Guys Theologizing. If you'd like to write to us and share your thoughts or give us ideas for future episodes, you can do so by sending us an email at 3gt.xyz. Don't forget the dot, 3gt.xyz@gmail.com. And you can also go over to our website at 3gt.xyz to learn more about the podcast, to donate to us, or to listen to previous episodes. But thanks again for tuning in to 3G2.